My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody out there listening on ESPN 1320, maybe listening on the free Odyssey app, maybe listening old school, maybe listening online. At ESPN1320.com, or maybe you're hanging out with us on ESPN1320 TV at Twitch and at YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Thank you, everybody, for tapping in. Hey, it was a good night for the Kings last night, and a good night for your boy personally. We'll get to that.
It was a good little Tuesday.
Good little Tuesday for the Kings. Again, yeah. Big win over the Clippers.
Yeah, I think they looked phenomenal.
Looked like, really good.
Yeah, they went in there and they punched the team in the face.
Repeatedly.
That they needed to.
In the third quarter.
I mean, that's what you have to do. Like, if you're going to stay in this chase, Kyle, you got to come out swinging.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at with the Kings right now, is there's stuff that has to happen in front of them if they're going to climb up out of the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there for them. But the bigger deal is, how are they playing on a night-in, night-out basis? And if they play really well down the stretch, but hey, Dallas and New Orleans just also played well, and the Kings are the 7 seed. You can still feel good about it knowing, hey, you know what? They went 6-1 over their last 7, or 5-2 in their last 7. Okay, they didn't climb out of the play-in, but they're playing great.
Yeah, I think a lot of things kind of hidden happened here too. So, you know, if with the schedule, with the standings kind of shrinking, now you have the Mavs at 45-30, the Pelicans at 45-30, and then the Kings and Suns at 44-31, just a game
crazy
behind, right? So you got four teams separated by a game, and that's 5 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, if you end up having a bunch of ties, the Kings once again strengthen their position, because
mm-hmm.
it's going to come down to conference record if it becomes a like a giant tie fest. And the Kings are 29-19 in conference. The Mavericks are 29-20, and the Pelicans are 26-20.
Jeez.
And then the Suns are all the way down at 25-21. So all of a sudden, the Kings are the leader in the clubhouse right now with in the conference record. So if you have a three-team tie and you have a situation where, yeah, sure, the Kings and Pelicans isn't a good matchup, but throw in Dallas or throw in the Suns, and the Kings won one of those series and the Suns win a series against the Pelicans, then all of a sudden, the Kings could sneak in a different way.
It's so funny looking at the standings, because there's everything you just laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can head up to the 1, 2, and 3. So the teams you just, in Mavericks, Pelicans, Kings, Suns,
I guess if you want to throw in the Lakers, you can, but it's really that five through eight. And then you look at the top, it's Denver, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City, all separated by half a game.
Wild.
All tied in the loss column, that trio of teams. And then there's the Clippers. The Clippers are just vibing at the four seed. Three up on the Kings with seven to go. Not really much concern for them, but they're also not anywhere close to catching anybody above them. There's not a major chance that they're going to fall much further than fourth. They're just hanging out. Good for okay. the Clips.
Yeah.
Bad loss last night, but, you know, moving on.
Yeah, I mean, they're five games back of that top three group, and they're two games up on the other group, and yeah. I don't think there's a way for the Kings to catch the Clippers at this point. But, you know, it's, again, you tied a season series. So the mm-hmm. Kings have now one season series against Denver and Minnesota. They have a 2-1 advantage on OKC. Mm-hmm. They've got a split with both the Clippers and the Mavericks and the Suns. And they have an 0-4 against the Pelicans, but then a 4-0 against the Lakers and a split against right. the Warriors. There's only one team out of the other nine in the top 10 that the Kings have lost a season series to. And that's impressive. New Orleans.
No doubt. I was looking at the Clippers schedule. They got Nuggets, Jazz, Cavs, two against the Suns, and then Jazz, Rockets to close.
Mm.
I mean, eh.
The chatty house is saying our audio is odd.
Your audio is odd.
Your audio is odd, too.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I got nothing for you guys. I'm sorry. I got nothing for you.
Anyways. All right.
I went to the Warriors game last night at Chase Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll dive into the depths of Kings Clippers with six quick thoughts and some other stuff coming up in a bit. But I went to Chase Center last night and I watched Warriors Mavs. And because of a friend who had acquired these tickets before, this was a rescheduled game from when the Warriors had a coach pass away.
That's right. I was wondering why yes. that you had these tickets.
This was supposed to be at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And the game they played earlier this season at Dallas was supposed to be at Chase Center, which is the game my buddy bought these tickets for.
Okay.
So he wound up not being able to go. My buddy does okay. And
sounds like he's...
He does okay.
Yay.
And
he's doing well for himself.
And I don't know if he has a plug or what the deal is, but he said, hey, you guys want these tickets? They are row AA, which is feet on the floor, courts up. Unbelievable experience, top to bottom. Nobody cares about that, though. Here's what happened. The Warriors won. Big deal for the Kings.
Yes.
Knocking off the Dallas Mavericks. But I was determined to do two things. One, I was not going to be obnoxious courtside guy. I think I was a little bit, but not like vocally.
Okay.
I was just into the game. I was having a good time. I wasn't going to trash talk people though.
Okay.
Like I wasn't going to be that guy. I'd yell hell no when PJ Washington shot it from the corner we're in front of, but nothing crazy, right? So just mostly encouragement to Warriors players was our vibe for the night. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Luka Doncic, as you know, not a fan of the officials. So there was a play late in the game. Now keep in mind, we've said nothing negative to anybody all night. There's a play late in the game where Draymond Green drives in, puts one off the glass, and I think it was Daniel Gafford comes in and smacks it away off the glass. Easy goaltending call. Very easy. Luka immediately stops, palms up, turns around, looking like, what? How could you call that a goaltend? Clear goaltend.
Mm-hmm.
Clear goaltend. But he walks over to the ref and he's looking around like for validation. Okay. Looking directly, I mean, right, we're sitting right there. He's from you to me. And he's telling the ref, like, hey, and he's turning to his bench and he's doing the review sign. He's doing the whole thing. I decide to take it upon myself. I say, Luka, let me help you.
Oh.
I got you, dog. You don't need to get teed up in this spot. It's like a 4-point game at this point. It's still really close. There's plenty of time left for them to make a run. So I'm like, let me help him. You're not going to want to waste a timeout on a review. And as he's, again, he's looking around for confirmation, and we make eye contact.
Oh, you made eye contact.
And I go like this. I go, hey, man, nah, he got it. It was the right call. Like that. And he goes, shut up, P word.
Oh, he called you the P word?
He called me a P word.
A cat?
I'm trying to help him.
He called you what?
I'm here. Help me help you, Luca.
What?
I did nothing wrong. I'm trying to help the guy out. And I'm a P word?
Oh, that's brutal, Kyle. Nobody calls Kyle the P word.
I think he did. And like, is he wrong? Meh. But that's not the point. That's not the point. I was legitimately, like, I'm telling you, I'm not doing a bit. I genuinely was like, he's looking for somebody to be like, ooh, hey, yeah, that's, you should review. So I went, hey, man, no, this is a goaltend. This is the right call. And it was. It, like, clearly was. And wow. I got called a P-word by Luka Doncic. But last laugh for me, because I was at that point in his head. Now he knows I know.
Oh.
He knows that I'm on his ass now. And on the next possession, he goes down and shoots a three above the break on the opposite side of the court from us. And we can see this ball leave his hand. It was the shot he missed by the most all night. It was not. He had an incredible game. He is just a remarkable player.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys that halfway through his like sequence of dribbles, you're like, oh, he's going to make this. He's scoring on this possession. And he comes down that three above the break, wasn't even close. And that is a win for me. Because I was
look
in
over hit, and you I say, who's the P word now?
I wish I had.
B.
I wish I had. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't going to do all that. But no, I just, I got inside his head in that moment and played some great defense for the Dubs down the stretch. I got Golden State a much needed win, not only for them, but for the Sacramento Kings as well. If anybody needs any tips on defending Luka Doncic, you can hit me up. I've got ideas.
There it is.
Yeah, man. Look me right in the face.
Just give him facts.
Look me right in the face. Shut up, P-word. Oh, my God. That's the funny thing.
This is a great story,
Kyle. We had all night been like, so it was me, my buddy Nick, and then Chris Biederman and his fiance. And we were just sitting there and just being funny, like being silly, like, hey, box out. Hey, got to box out. Active hands. Just funny basketball cliche. Just being silly all night, cracking ourselves up. And to be lashed out at like that. After
spectacular.
Like, after very purposefully not trying to engage a player in that way. I thought it was great. And then he badly missed his next 3-point attempt.
That's spectacular.
Ball game over.
Excellent.
It was so much fun. If you ever get a chance to do that, do it. Just FYI. It's a great way to consume a basketball game, but also nerve-wracking.
Like, because you're right there.
Yeah, and the want as a millennial to take photos and videos of everything, especially when it's Kyrie dribbling on Steph. Right, I mean,
right
four
in front
feet
of
from
you.
Me.
Yeah,
it's like I want to take a photo of this, but also I want to enjoy it. B, I'm not trying to get hit in the face if a ball gets poked out and I'm getting hit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying not to do any of that. I don't want to spill my drink, which was way under my seat.
Yeah.
Like the entire night. It was such a great time. And no bad things happened to me.
All right.
So.
That's good.
It was.
No one flew into your seat?
Nope.
All right. Nope.
Nothing even remotely close.
Okay.
It was great.
Yeah, spectacular.
A+.
I'm glad you had a good night.
Thanks, man. And I'm glad the Kings had a good night. They beat the Clippers 109-95. At Golden One Center last night. We will continue diving into that. We'll have 6 quick thoughts with James Hamm coming up next. We have some new information on the A's potentially playing in Sacramento as a temporary home before going to Las Vegas. And we have a look around the NBA because the Kings had a, like we said, had a pretty good night. And then we got to get into this A's wristband conspiracy thing as well.
I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'm not here for that.
You're
here
for
the discussion.
Okay. Okay. Good. So we have all of that packed show. And in the next segment, we're giving away a Kings jersey. That's right. So tap in. This is not a key word, by the way. We're announcing a winner.
Oh, someone won.
Of a Kings jersey. We'll also have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for you. But we're going to announce the winner of our Kings jersey giveaway in the next segment, along with six quick thoughts. All of that coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, sorry, y'all. You're watching on the stream. Apparently, the audio is poor. We will work on that. In the meantime, we're talking Kings. They blew out the Clippers last night, 109-95, in a game that was not as close as the final score indicated. Sacramento taking care of business yet again, and just kind of continuing this churn forward, trying to climb out of the number 7 seed in the West. Let's dive into last night's game with James Hamm. Six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Six quick thoughts could be sponsored by you. If you'd like to sponsor the segment, hit us up. James Hamm, take us one.
Top spot. Alex Lynn is on six quick thoughts here and there, but he was so good in this one that he earned the top spot. For me, 4 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, and a steal. His defensive pressure in the second quarter, late first, early second quarter, changed the complexity of the game. Yep. And to me, it was absolutely stunning to watch a player who's really good in limited minutes, but like found another level.
Mm-hmm.
And just like he was the ultimate goalkeeper. And I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, it feels like this has been brewing for a while. Alex Len has been, even beginning of the year, mm-hmm. the 4 minute stretch, 5 minutes. Like, oh, that's a good Alex Len. And he's just kind of been better and better. And then I think it just came to a head last night with Len playing as well as he has really all year. And if you can get quality backup center minutes,
yeah,
that, especially in a playoff series, especially if you're facing Rudy Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns or Nikola Jokic, if you have another big body that you can throw out there credibly, specifically defensively,
yeah,
that's a pretty big deal.
No, I think so too, and I just super impressed and really happy for Alex. I mean, Alex has been in and out of the rotation, but also he's just been like the consummate pro for the Kings, and he's got all this other stuff going on off the court that people forget about all the time. That, you know, he's Ukrainian and all these things that are happening in Ukraine right now still really, really tough for him.
Number two,
Trey Day, Trey Lyles. You forget. He kind of got lost in the shuffle throughout most of this season. He got hurt early on, got done with being hurt, and then kind of was just one of the group, right? But he showed you last night how good he can be. 15 points, 3 of 8 from 3. He added 4 rebounds and 5 assists, and I just saw it like he was a playmaker. He was hustling. He went and got a couple offensive rebounds that were stunning. Just really, really solid, impactful play from Trey.
Yeah, and I think I when he went down, it was the kind of absence that, okay, he's not one of their top three guys, but he matters, man.
Yeah.
He matters a lot to their scoring, to their size. There are things he provides that are just sort of unique to the Kings bench.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not quite as good, or their ceiling lowers, I think, quite a bit when he's not in. So,
yeah,
good to see him. Good to see him back last night. And I thought for sure there'd be some kind of like, okay, it's going to take him a minute to find a shot and find his rhythm. He's just come back and not missed his stride at all.
No,
it's been really good.
Yeah, and you can't. I mean, I watched him not only take a guy off the dribble that was like riding him, and then throw up a shot and got an and one. But he also chased down an offensive rebound in the middle of the key late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He looks 100% healthy, which, you know,
fully back.
Hat tip to the medical staff there. They've done a great job of patching him back up.
Yep. Number
three.
Counting. Go ahead.
Keon Ellis got in foul trouble early, and Davion Mitchell got the call earlier than expected. Man, again, We'll dive into this a little bit later, but since the All-Star break, Davion Mitchell has been incredible. He has figured out how to fit in, and that's what it's not about his shooting numbers. It's not about anything. He figured out what his niche is and who he is on this team. And for me, the swagger he had on the defensive end was stunning. The way that he stuck James Harden, it didn't matter who they put on, who he was on, he was all over him. But also 14 points, 4 rebounds, and he hit, I think, his first 3 3-point shots. Just really big-time performance.
Yeah, out of nowhere, he has just found his shot from beyond the arc. And he's just playing with a level of confidence now that I don't think... We saw it in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before the season started. It's like, man, Davion just looks like he has a better idea on the offensive end. And then the season started, and he was a mess.
Yep.
But, man, since the All-Star break, really... Something has just kind of clicked for him. I think it was kind of since the players only meeting.
Yeah.
Something has clicked for him that he's been more aggressive, been more assertive. And I don't think it's a coincidence that as he gets more confident with his role on the offensive end, you're starting to see the three ball go down.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Good for Davion Mitchell. That's great for the Kings, man. You have a defensive minded guard who can stay on the court, especially we just mentioned all the bigs that you might face in the playoffs. Against some of the guards you're going to face in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's a pretty significant development for the Kings if he continues playing. Well, number four,
the Hunter. Keegan Murray, he didn't wait around and politely ask if he could take a few extra shots.
Really good of him.
Yeah. He was aggressive. 19 points, 8 of 18, chipped in 5 rebounds. This is who he has to be.
That's it.
It's it. It's just like, do that. Do that.
We're going to.
Well, you just did. Do more.
I have nothing to add.
I don't care if it's Paul George. I don't care if it would have been Kawhi Leonard or whoever, man. I don't care. Just do that. Just go play.
I have nothing to add.
All right.
Number five. You're right. You're just right.
Yeah.
You're correct. Number five.
Lightning quick. His shot didn't go down, but De'Aaron Fox was crazy fast in this game. He got to the lane. He found his teammates. He scored 20 points on only 6 of 20 shooting, 7 assists. And then on the defensive end, he is becoming more and more and more. He's just like...
It's like he's ramping up.
Yeah, he is. He's ramping up. He needs to find his shot.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, he's been just really good.
Yeah, I don't... The thing with De'Aaron and needing to find his shot, I totally agree with you. That's something that has to come around. But I also am very not worried about De'Aaron Fox scoring the basketball.
No.
I'm not. Number 6.
Domantas Sabonis registered his 58th double-double. Pretty easy. 22 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists. Missed his 27th triple-double by an assist. And, absolutely blew through the Clippers front line. They had no idea what to do with him.
Yeah, which is pretty shocking because I think the Clippers are the kind of team that have enough size that would typically bother Domas a little bit. And it did not bother him last night whatsoever.
No. Like, Zubats tried to get physical with him, but, like, in a really wrong way. Zubats doesn't understand what getting physical means.
He does.
He thinks that means, like, punching people and, like...
Start hacking.
Like,
freeze out a chair. They're like, no.
Yeah, no.
Know what we mean.
less physical.
Defend with your chest.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. Zubats, to me... Is a good ball player, but he had, again, no idea what to do with Domas.
No, he's fine. But what a game for Domas! That was big time in a really big spot. The Kings needed that last night, and they got it. Do you want to give away this Kings jersey?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so if you're not familiar, Jiffy Lube, sponsor of this program.
Our friends at Jiffy Lube.
There it is. Sponsor of this program, Jiffy Lube. They gave us 82 $100 gift certificates to give away, which we'll do later on in the show. But then they said, hey, we want to do more. Here are some jerseys for you guys to give away. We'll give away one at the end of each month. So we have gone to the Wheel of Winners. We've given it a spin. And we have a winner of our Sacramento Kings jersey for the month of March. And our winner is Eric B. in West Sacramento. You are the big winner of the Sacramento Kings jersey for March. Our promotion staff will be reaching out to you so you can come collect your jersey. courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube.
All right.
Congrats to Eric B. in West Sac. Like I said, our promotion staff will be reaching out to you. You can enter to win a jersey today. We'll do our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game next segment. We'll just do it in the next segment.
Okay.
Why not? So stick around. ESPN1320.com is the website. There's a Jiffy Lube contest page right there at the front. You can't miss it. You'll have to enter a keyword. We'll give it to you in the next segment. You'll be entered to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, and you'll also be entered to win a Sacramento Kings jersey.
The Chatty House is ridiculous.
They on one?
Yeah, I just... Wheezy's...
Oh, that's funny. Wheezy went full Luka?
Yeah, he went. He went full Luka. Yeah, so congrats to Eric B.
Yeah, no, Rakim not here, it turns out. But Eric B. gets a jersey.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
If you want to win that jersey, stay in through the next segment because we'll be giving you the keyword and how to enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and that jersey for next month, or I guess this month, the end of this month as well.
Eric B., just joined the chat. He's here.
Oh, come on. Let's go, Eric B. Everybody congratulate our guy. Big winner. Congrats. Oh, I've got... Oh, my God. All right, we're trying to fix the audio. I have a... I have an engineer on the computer right now working on it.
Working
like
on it.
Like, he's literally remoted into my computer.
All right.
Working on it right now. So, we're going to break. Hopefully, when we come back, the audio sounds better. And we will talk about... so we're going to get a little bit further into the Keegan Murray and Keon Mitchell, Keon Ellis, Davion Mitchell performances from last night's Kings win. All that coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
To the
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, if you're watching on the stream, we are still working on the audio issues there. Our apologies. Thank you for sticking with us. We are actively working on it, though. We promise, if you are listening on the radio or the Odyssey app, thank you for doing so. I want to remind everybody that you can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. I want to remind everybody, if you call in, it's just going to ring. Oh. We don't have a phone screener, so it's just going to ring, and I will put you on the air, and you'll have to tell us your name and where you're from, and then we'll chat with you. And if there's somebody on the line while you're calling, it's just going to ring because I can't put it on hold or anything. So be patient. We promise we'll try and get to you. Thanks.
I'm not promising anything because I don't see anyone ringing on my, I don't have a board, so.
No, but we're still going to try to get to you. You and I as a collective.
Okay.
All right. It'll be me, but both of us.
It'll be you, but both of us will say hello.
I want to do a thing because we have been talking so much about the injury situation with the Kings, right? Because obviously, you lose Malik Monk. That's a huge deal. You lose Kevin Huerter for the season. That's a huge deal. Malik Monk, not necessarily out for the season. It's 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury. So if they make a deep-ish playoff run, they could get their sixth man and presumptive sixth man of the year back for whatever's left of their playoff run. What I would like to do in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Is something we talked about, you and I, yesterday, and then something we talked about with Damian Barling as well during the handoff. Or the handoff, by the way, coming up about 11:45. One of the things we talked about was it's not a next man up thing from a, yeah, Davion's going to be the sixth man now, and he's just going to replace Malik Monk. That's not how this is going to work. There's no one person on the team that you're going, yeah, that guy's just going to do what Malik Monk does on a nightly basis. It's going to be a collective effort. And more times than not, it's probably going to be somebody different every single night. And so what I want to do is after each game, we're just going to do who stepped up.
Okay.
Who was the player or players who in that particular game stepped up to help fill the void left by Malik Monk? Or just to lift the Kings in some different way. Like this first player we're going to talk about, Alex Len. Alex Len didn't do anything that you're going, wow, hey, Malik Monk replacement, right?
Yeah.
But 4 points, 7 boards, and 3 blocks, just a force defensively. He had a steal. That was a big time performance from Alex Len when the Kings needed it. I think Alex Len stepped up big time last night.
Yeah, I thought Alex was just absolutely tremendous. And Alex has been really good most of the season. He just gives you, like, honest to goodness, solid backup minutes where you don't take a big hit, but he also gives you something different. And I think that there will come a point where Mike Brown, against, you know, some specific teams out there, he runs two bigs and puts Sabonis and Alex Len together. Mm-hmm. And you're not even asking Alex to do anything extra. Like, Alex Len at one point in his career shot 37.5% from three with Atlanta. The Kings aren't asking Alex Len to do that.
Mm-mm.
They're asking Alex to be tough, to protect the rim, and it wasn't just the 3 blocks that he had. He had an additional, like, 4 shots that were altered completely because of him. And that's what you need. This team needs that type of player. And it's good on him to step up. 7 rebounds was huge, too. This team really, really did a good job of just crushing the Clippers on the glass.
Yeah.
And Alex was a big part of that.
Yeah, they've you could tell by the moves they made this offseason that they knew they needed better depth at center. I mean, who are they? JaVale and Alex Len, obviously, but Nerlens Noel was here for a second.
Yeah. Nemias Keita
was here for a second. There was just, it was this glut of backup center bodies, and it turns out that Alex Len, who re-signed, might just be the best option for them. And this is not to advocate 20 minutes of Alex Len a night.
Yeah.
But can he give you 10 minutes a night in a playoff series? I don't see why not. Not if he's going to play like he did last night.
Yeah.
I think he can. I don't think anything he did last night was unsustainable.
Yeah, no. I think it depends on the team you're playing, whether it's Alex Len, sure, or you're going to go small ball with Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go back and forth and see both iterations of that throughout the playoffs, most likely.
Yeah.
If they make the postseason. But this is a good problem to have. It's a solid player who has been a good soldier for you, who doesn't cause problems, who's been a pro, who's in there working out nonstop. And this is a guy who struggled with injury problems throughout his career, but he's been available for the Kings almost every night the last two seasons. And when he does play, the prevailing thought is, man, I wish Alex Len played more every time.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
It's easy because, as you mentioned, he had some injury problems where he's since 2019. So he played in 2018-19, he played 77 games. Since then, he hasn't played more than 64. So I think it's kind of easy to forget. But he's a former top five pick.
Yeah.
And you see the, I don't think we're going to, like I said, I don't think we're going to see that on a large sample size. But there are flashes where, I think multiple times last night, where you watch and you go, oh yeah, that's right. this is a top five pick out of Maryland 10 years ago.
Yeah, and even if you look at the way that he has been playing, like when he does play, like he's only played 41 games this season, and that's because Mike Brown gave JaVale McGee a shot. He gave the Trey Lyles small ball five experiment a shot. The same thing last year. Mike Brown tried to mix and match and use other players, and at the end of the day, you kept coming back to Alex Len. Mm-hmm. And for me, it really does come down to like the impact that he has on the court when he's there. Like what is his plus minus in a game? And you don't want to look at plus minus as, you know, an individual game thing. But when you look at his numbers, it just shows you like he's almost always a positive. And even if he is a negative, it's a negative one in an 8-point loss, or, you know, it's a, like the little negatives that he has is usually because you lost by a whole lot more than that.
Do you know what I've never said when Alex Len has played?
Oh,
they got to get Alex Len out of there. Like, seriously.
I've said that about some of the other players they've had.
Yeah, definitely.
No, you're right.
That happens for sure with some of the other players they have at the backup center position. Not naming names. But where that player will do a thing or two, this could happen. We're talking about centers right now with Alex Len, but it could be pick a position. There are just some times where a player will be in the game where you're going, man, hey, he's got to come out.
Like, yeah,
this is not an effective player tonight.
Yep,
not in this game. And I don't think I've ever said that with Alex Len.
Not in the last couple of years.
It's always just, hey, you know what? Right, Brown never plays him for too long. Or out of position, or ask him to do too much. Like, nope, that guy's going to set a high screen. He's going to get rebounds. He's going to alter shots. He's going to run the floor.
You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't get the ball at the top of the key and try to make a crazy bounce pass to a back cutter.
No, he sure doesn't.
He doesn't do that. So, good on Alex Len.
Yeah. Who else stepped up last night?
For me, we're going to keep coming back to Davion Mitchell.
Yeah,
man. Like Davion Mitchell is just—he's owning his moment, and I'm super happy for him. I know that the last couple of years have not been easy on him. He's a guy who came into the league and averaged 11 points a game as a rookie, and you know, thought that that might be who he was as a player that was going to grow into, you know, maybe a 12 to 14 point per game guy, and be a backup point guard or maybe even a starter on a team. And he kind of lost his way for a little while. And now what we're seeing is Mike Brown put his confidence in him, and it's paying off. And whatever happened that got to Davion that like helped him understand his place in the world in Sacramento, like good on you, because it just the light switch has been hit with him. And since the All-Star break, what we were talking about, he's shooting 55.8% from the field, shooting 44% from three. Those are great things. It helps him stay on the court, but his defense on top of that has just been spectacular. So if you can mirror those two things, he doesn't have to average 10 points a game. He doesn't have to average 8. Mm-hmm. But if he can just give you solid minutes, and a lot like what we're talking about with Alex Len, don't have everything go to hell in a handbasket the second that De'Aaron Fox steps off the court. And he's holding his own.
It was about a year ago that Davion Mitchell wasn't playing in a game 7 because he was a non-factor offensively.
Mm-hmm.
In a spot where the opposing team's guard was going off. And I think having Davion Mitchell, I think we have a big enough sample size now of him being a credible offensive threat, not only from beyond the arc, because sometimes the threes are going to fall, sometimes they aren't, but what he's done as a playmaker and as a cutter and finding his spots and effectively picking his spots is just, it's night and day. Because before, we talked about at the beginning of this year, this season, we talked when Davion Mitchell came in, it's like, man, the pace just slows down and it just looks like the fit is not there. How many times did we say square peg round hole?
Yeah.
Dozen? Two dozen?
Yeah, a million times.
So many times.
No, I've been saying it forever. Like, I keep telling people, I don't believe that Davion Mitchell is a bad NBA player.
No.
I think he can have a very, I just didn't think it could be in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he was never able to kind of break through.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch him on the court. It's about feel. It's about looking mm-hmm. at a player and saying, man, four players are doing one thing. And the previous five guys were doing one thing. And you just stand out as someone who's not doing what everyone else is doing. And it's in a bad way. Like, you don't look comfortable. And the team doesn't look comfortable when you're with them.
Yep.
That's not the case anymore. So good on him for figuring it out, because that's all we were asking for. Like, look like you fit in. This is a motion offense. It's a constant. Everyone is moving everywhere. You're trying to find an open spot, and it's not about dribbling. It's not none of that. And even when he did dribble, it was never with purpose. Mm-hmm. It was just a dribble.
Yes. That's perfect way to put it.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, I'm going to dribble, but I am attacking you. I'm going straight to the rim, and I'm either going to hit somebody in the corner for the spray three, or I'm going to go up and I'm going to finish a shot. And whether it's the floater or whether he's getting to the basket, it's even like he's watched some tape of Isaiah Thomas, because when he's at the rim, he's finding ways to use his shoulders to clear enough space to get a shot off against bigger players. And it's absolutely perfect. Like, hey man, good for you for figuring it out.
When was the Kings team meeting?
Oh, it's first couple of days after the All-Star. Oh no, it was before the All-Star break, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they won a game after their team meeting and then lost the next night, right?
Yeah. Was that right after the break?
I can't remember exactly, but it feels like, I'm going to do some research on this.
Okay.
But it feels like Davion, as we talk about this, it feels like something happened in that meeting, because it feels like since then, it's really taken off for him.
I can find it.
Was it March 1?
It's the game.
At Minnesota?
Maybe. It's the game after Harrison Barnes took two shots. Because that's how I remember it. There's a game where Harrison Barnes took two shots, and we're like, what in the world are you doing? And then they had the team meeting. And after that, it's like, okay, this is, oh, there it is, right there. It's Indiana on January 18th. That's the moment where
Team meeting was that long ago?
He went 1 of 2 from the field, and January, they had 4 days off. Well, 3 days off. They played again on the 22nd against Atlanta.
This is not right, because they won their game immediately after the team meeting and then lost the next night.
Oh.
Because we all went, oh, maybe they need another team meeting.
Yeah, you're right. I'll keep looking, but okay. I could have sworn it was then. No, that's when they had the team meeting. The players only meeting was later.
I'm sorry, players only meeting.
Okay, but before that, they had a team meeting where they went to the coaching staff and said, hey, we need to change a bunch of things. And then Harrison Barnes goes from 1 of 2 from the field to 10 of 20 for 32 points, 14 of 24 for 39 points. Jesus. And he scores 20 the next night on 6 of 11. That was that burst early. That's when they had the team meeting, not the players only meeting.
Okay, so the players only meeting was before their March 1 game against Minnesota. I have Googled this. Shout out to Deuce and Mo for having a YouTube video up.
Okay.
Before that, Davion Mitchell, 3.9 points a night, one board, 1.7 assists, shooting splits 40.9% from the field, 31.8% from three, 72% from the free throw line.
Okay.
That's before this team meeting they had. Players only meeting, sorry. After the players only meeting, not only is he playing 17 minutes a night, almost 18 minutes a night, 56.5% from the field, 44.2% from three.
Yeah.
75% free throws, 7.6 points, 1.8 boards, 1.7 assists. Like the and there's visual stuff too. You just see the way he plays. It's different.
Yeah, he looks different. He looks like a different player. It's really good to see.
Yeah. So he stepped up big time last night. Shout out to Davion Mitchell as he continues to just kind of look more comfortable with this offense. And is he the thing with Davion? We'll talk about this as we get into the play in or playoffs or wherever the Kings land. But I don't know that he has a definite playoff rotation spot, like a night in, night out. Hey, you are definitely playing these minutes and here it is. But I think he's acquitted himself well enough that A, I think he plays every night, but B, I think you can just, I don't think you can necessarily pencil him in for 25 minutes a night in the playoffs.
Okay.
But I think he has opened that door where, yeah, hey, if he continues playing this well, I think you're going to have to play him.
Yeah, I totally agree, Kyle. I think that, again, he's probably going to be slated for like 13 minutes a night during the playoffs with a variable of like 8 to 12 minutes more.
Yeah.
And there is a potential for him to play a huge amount of minutes, but it also, I think it kind of depends on, like, is Keon Ellis hitting a shot? Is Keon Ellis getting in foul trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Does Malik Monk come back somehow?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of those things would matter in a seven-game series. But for right now, he gives you something on the offensive end where you weren't sure that you were going to get from him. And
that's,
like, really good stuff.
Big time.
Yeah.
Another player who stepped up last night, and I want to deep dive on this as well. Keegan Murray, you had some numbers on this that are just fascinating. So Keegan Murray last night took 18 shots.
Yep.
Once again, what did he finish? 8 of 18? I lost my box score.
8 of 18.
There it is. 8 of 18 for Keegan Murray, 2 of 7 from 3. Shot just one free throw, 19 points for him, 5 boards, couple assists, steal and a block.
Gigantic poster dunk.
Big time poster dunk on Zubats.
Yeah.
Down the lane, elevated, big time. Hunter Patterson, covers the Kings for The Athletic, said, noted on Twitter that Keegan Murray took 18 shots for the second consecutive game for the first time in his career. And then you noted this morning that it's only the second time he's ever taken 18 shots?
Well, in his rookie season, his maximum was 17 shots. Now, in his second season, like, it's crazy. In his rookie season, he took 16 shots once and 17 shots twice. That's it. Nothing above 17.
Okay, so I misunderstood this, but go on.
But still, so the stat is still good. It's just in his second season, he's now taken 18 or more shots 8 times.
Man.
With a cap of 23, and that was a 47-point outburst. But yeah, he's not a guy who he needs to shoot more. So this is the first time in his career he's taken 18 shots consecutive games. And I mean, look, there is no more time. This is it.
It's now.
Like, you have to do this absolutely right now. And it doesn't matter if other players do it too. If it, you know, again, we saw Sabonis take 17 shots last night. Fox, I think, took 21. Like, but Keegan is such an important piece. And I would add, this is against a team with Paul George. It's a team with Terrence Mann. Like, they have good defensive pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Paul George was all over him and trying to get physical with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a play where he was coming off a high DHO and couldn't get the ball because Paul George was just all over him. And then all of a sudden, Keegan Murray just dashes to the basket. Domantas Sabonis goes over the top and he dunks on Paul George. And you're like, hey, look at that. He figured it out.
Right.
He figured it out. If a guy's going to play you that tight around the perimeter, then go through traffic.
Layup. Go get your dunk.
Yeah, he's overplaying you.
Mm-hmm.
So let him overplay you and use that to your advantage. And to me, we're seeing a little bit here and there of him taking steps to become this next level scorer, maybe the second best scorer on this team moving forward. But We're going to have to see it more of it. And we're also going to have to see it when Malik Monk gets healthy.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
But I think it would go a long way toward, and I think this back-to-back games, first time in his career taking 18 shots in consecutive games, that to me is growth. Mm-hmm. That to me is a step forward. Where in this moment where, like you said, it has to happen when Malik Monk is out there as well.
Yep.
It has to happen on a night where De'Aaron Fox is playing well also. Like these are things that still have to be, these are boxes that still have to be checked. But for right now, I would much rather have this, and this is a step forward, versus, yeah, Keegan took 18 shots last night and then 8 tonight. Oh, yeah. And there's 11 the next night. Oh, and there's 19. Oh, and then there's 6. That roller coaster thing, it can't happen right now. There's no excuse for it right now.
No, I totally agree. And again, we can look at Harrison Barnes and say, hey, Harrison, 2 of 7, that's not going to cut it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go deeper into the box score and you see the 6 of 20 from Fox and you see mm-hmm. the 8 of 17 and the 8 of 18 from Murray, but then on top of that, Davion Mitchell, 5 of 10 and Trey yep. Lyles, 6 of 11.
Yep.
Like the balance was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the balance went to Davion and Trey exactly. and not Harrison Barnes or even Keon Ellis, who went 0 for 1, but still managed to grab 7 rebounds, have an assist, have a steal, make an impact in a different way.
Harrison Barnes taking 7 shots on a night where the top 3 offensive options combined for 45 shots is fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's the nights that Harrison Barnes takes 7 shots and Keegan's taking 8 that's bothersome. So I don't even mind that Harrison Barnes game. And then you mentioned all the stuff with Lyles and Mitchell combining for 21 shots off the bench.
Yeah.
That doesn't, I need that. Keegan's second highest field goal attempts on the team and continuing to be aggressive and find ways to score even when his 3-point shot isn't dropping. That's the growth I need to continue seeing. And last night was a really, really big deal for me. 18 feels like the number moving forward.
Okay. 17, 18.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a catastrophe if he finishes with 16, but I would like to see the rest of the way over this next 7 games. Can he average in that 17 to 18 range?
Yep.
That's what I would kind of like to see. And honestly, that's another thing we talk about replacing Malik Monk. Hey, the raw scoring, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's Keegan Murray just consistently taking more shots and making more shots.
And making more.
And I think he will from beyond the arc. He's just too good of a shooter. His 3-point percentage is way down, but I think he's just way too good of a shooter to not see an uptick.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So that's a big deal for the Kings now, in moving forward without Malik Monk. And then how many, we've discussed this again ad nauseum, but that's just for next season and feeling good about Keegan's trajectory going into next season. That's what I was talking about with D'Lo yesterday, and he disagreed with me, but man, when you have a player who's going to be 24 heading into next season,
yeah,
right, turns 24 in August. If you have a player who's turning 24 before his third season and you're still going like, yeah, I don't know if he can be aggressive night in and night out, that gets really worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can start to have that tangible growth now where the Kings coaching staff has video to show him, hey, here's how you can counter this. Look at how you countered that. This is what we want to see here. That's the kind of stuff that when you start projecting out over the next 3 or 4 years, it's like, man, okay, there's the ceiling. Now you're starting to see it. That piece of fuzz was hanging on my hat. And then
it
floated away. Oh my gosh. Every once in a while, something will happen to me and I'll understand where my cats are at.
It's also possible that the piece of fuzz was causing all the audio issues.
I doubt it. I doubt it's fixed now. We're going to break here in a minute and we can take another stab at fixing this audio. If you are watching on the stream, we appreciate you guys for sticking with us. I promise that we are working as hard as we can to be like, hey, we're going to shut down the show and everybody's going to dive in to fix it. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're working as hard as we can while also running a radio program. So thank you everybody who's hanging out with us on the stream. If you're hanging out with us on ESPN 1320. Or on the free Odyssey app, of course, we appreciate you as well. And want to remind everybody that the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast, that's this show in podcast form. If you want to go back and catch anything you missed, we post each hour, we post the full show, we post a clip or two from the show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and of course, on the free Odyssey app. Even if you don't intend on listening, just subscribe.
subscribe.
That way, in case you missed it, it's already there for you. You don't have to go find it.
That's right.
You don't have to, like I said, you don't have to, you're like, yeah, I caught the whole show already. All right, fine. But at least it's there for you. So search the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show wherever you get your podcast. All right, we're going to break. We're going to try and fix this audio on the stream. I have a Keon Ellis question to ask you still.
Yep.
Been on the rundown for 2 days. And we're going to take a look around the NBA because it wasn't just the Kings kicking the heck out of the Clippers that was a big deal for Sacramento last night. The Kings also got some help elsewhere around the association. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports. But
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.